Hello, and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Living as the Bride. And now with the word, here's Beverly.
I bless the precious bride of Christ this morning. Boy, it's wonderful. Is this truth getting in your spirit? I want to tell you, since the Lord has been showing this to me in my life, I'm a work in progress. I know it's hard to believe, but I'm not perfect yet. But I'm getting there. And one day I will be. I suppose it'll only be in heaven. But I'm telling you, I'm heading that way. Because I'm just keeping yielding. I'm just keep yielding every single day. I mean, not just when I come to church, but every day. And I hope that's what I'm trying to get across to you, is that every day you've got to walk as a bride. You've got to know who you are. You've got to be able to put your shoulders back, put your head up in your work situation, in your office, in your home, when you're cleaning your house, you're vacuuming your carpets and you're cleaning the potties and you're changing dirty diapers and you're wiping snotty noses and you're washing your car or you're mowing your lawn. You never, ever lose the perspective of who you are. Who you are. Boy, who are we? We are the bride of Christ. We've been bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. We've been washed with the blood of the Lamb. We've been clothed with His righteousness. We're above and not beneath. We're the head and not the tail. Everything, He has purposed to do us good, and He'll never, ever turn away from doing His bride good. And you're part of His bride. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior this morning, you are part of His bride. And if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, everything that I'm going to say this morning pertains to you. Now, the first day we looked at, from the Song of Solomon, who is the bride? And we looked at the kisses of His mouth. The second day, yesterday, we looked at the preparation of the bride. And you know, as I was thinking about it this morning, it's like, well, yes, I know I'm His bride, and I know He's anointing me, and I'm yielding to that anointing, and I know there's coming a great marriage feast of the Lamb when I will be His bride, and there'll be that consummation of the bride and the groom. But in the meantime, how do I walk as His bride? And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And I'm going to be very practical. I'm going to bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to be very vulnerable. I'm going to tell you how I do it. And I wish I could say that I'm perfect and I just live like this all day long, every day. You know, it would be so nice, but I'm getting there. And so I'm just going to share with you a little bit of what the Lord has done in my life. Let's read Song of Solomon again. Song of Solomon, and we'll just read the first seven verses. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. Draw me away, and we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedah, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me, and they made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard I have not kept. Whoa, there's a sermon right there in that verse, and I'm not going to preach on it this morning. But right there, isn't it so easy to keep somebody else's vineyard and we totally neglect our own? I tell you, those of us that are in full-time ministry, pastors, I mean, it really applies to anyone. Even mothers, we're so busy keeping our children's vineyards, or we're looking out for our husband, or we're looking out for our wives, and we neglect our own vineyard. Mark, that could preach, but anyway, verse 7. Tell me, O you whom I love, where do you feed your flock? Where do you make it rest at noon? For why should I be one who veils herself by the flocks of your companions? In verse 8, if you do not know, O fairest among women, follow the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats besides the shepherd's tent. Oh, I just love those verses. In the Living Bible, verse 7 and 8 reads like this. The bride is talking and she says, tell me, O one I love, where are you leading your flock today? Where will you be at noon? guess where the flock is at noon today. For I will come and join you there instead of wandering around like a vagabond amongst the flocks of your companions. I want to tell you something. If you're not hearing his voice, you're wandering around. Verse 8 in the Living Bible says, the groom answers her and says, if you do not know, O most beautiful woman in all the earth. Oh, isn't that wonderful? You know, it's really important to me that my husband tells me that I look good. I want to tell you, husbands, it's really important to your wife that you tell her, even if she's having a bad hair day and she's got a scrunched up dress on and she feels, and she's got PMS and she feels all yucky, you know, it's important to her, whatever inside of her, that you tell her, you look good today and I love you. See, the bride, the groom knows, the bride needs to be told she is beautiful. And you know what Jesus says about you today? You are beautiful. You are beautiful because you are his bride. Follow, O most beautiful woman in all the world, follow the trail of my flock to the shepherd's tent and feed your sheep and their flock. Wow, I tell you what, as I've learned to walk as a bride, the Lord has been teaching me so much about hearing his voice, about following his trail, about just doing what he says to do. I love what Song of Solomon chapter 2 and verse 10, you can turn over in your Bibles, says this. See, I got to believe that he really wants to spend his whole day with me. You know, he doesn't want just to have a half an hour when I get up in the morning to have my little quiet time where I read my Bible and my daily readings and I say my little bless me prayers in case the devil gets me today. You know, like a good luck charmer. Got to do this, otherwise, boy, I'm in for trouble today. Or just at 10 minutes before I go to sleep at night. You know, you've all done that, haven't you? I mean, don't look so spiritual. I know I've done it too. Or 10 minutes before I go to bed at sleep at night and I just cover the whole earth and say, well, Lord, just bless, 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 bless. And it's like I've made up my day up. He's blessed me in the morning. He's blessed me. No, he wants to spend his whole day with us. Just like the bride said, the bride, where are you feeding your flock today? Where are you going to be at noon today? In other words, if you want to apply that to where we're at today, Lord, what have you got purposed for me for this day? Where do you want me to go today? Where do you want me to eat today? What do you want me to eat today? What is the purpose of this day? Now, you might say, oh, well, all I know, I've got to be at work at 9 o'clock, you know, da-da-da-da-da. But you know what? He wants to be with you at work. He wants to walk through your whole day with you until you go to sleep at night, and then he'll still be with you as you dream. So, Song of Solomon, chapter 10. Chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, my beloved spoke to me and said, this is the bridegroom talking to the bride. He says, he comes in the morning and he wakes her up and he says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Isn't that wonderful language? I want to tell you guys, you just need to try this on your spouse. Try some of these wonderful things. He calls her perfect. He calls her beautiful. He calls her tall, slender, and full-breasted. Go read it. It's in the Living Bible. When I read that, I just like, whoa, let's blush here, you know. You know, and then I thought, but that's what the Bible says about me. I'm his bride. I'm tall. I might be 5'4", but I'm tall, slender, and full-breasted. So I began to quote that over myself. In fact, I think it's in Song of Solomon chapter 4, the bridegroom says that of the bride. And then in chapter 7, the bride picks up that same saying and starts saying it over herself. So I began to say what he says about me. I might not see it in the physical. I might not see, but the Lord began to interpret that little phrase to me. He said, you're tall, Beverly. You're high above. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath, just like I quoted earlier. I mean, you need to know who you are. Hold your head up straight. You're tall. You're slender. You've gotten rid of all the excess baggage that has hung on to you all your life. The wounds of the past, the hurts of the past, the people who have grieved you, have disappointed you. I mean, get rid of them. I'm telling you guys and girls, there is no place for excess baggage in the bride of Christ. Slender, full-breasted, I'm ready to feed whoever comes close to me. I'm telling you, I'm ready to give out the word of life to whoever comes close to me. That's who I am. That's who you are. That's what he has purposed for you. So, anyway, I don't know how I got there, but it says, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Verse 11. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers have appeared on the earth, and the singing has come. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. Oh, I love the voice of the turtle dove. I want to tell you, I have a friend, and she just sent me about 3 or 4 foolscap pages. She did a study on the turtle dove. You need to go do it. I'm telling you, it'll preach, pastors. Because you see, the bridegroom calls the bride the dove. He calls her the dove. Although I know the Holy Spirit is called the dove in the New Testament, I'm telling you, the bridegroom calls the bride his dove. He says, she's got dove eyes. And as I looked into that, it's like the Lord said, the dove eyes can look only in one direction at a time. Do you know that doves mate for life? They never change their mate. Do you know that they won't deviate from their fly path, they never deviate. Doves need to drink twice a day an abundance of water. I mean, there's so many spiritual truths wrapped up in what I'm sharing here. They show loving behavior towards each other by billing and cooing all the time. You know, I'm telling you, my ears over the last years have become so sensitive to the cooing of the dove. I hear doves coo all the time. And whenever I do, the Lord says, the time of the voice of the turtle dove is again heard in our land. I want to tell you something. Bride of Christ, the voice of the turtle dove is being heard in the land. He is cooing. He is wooing. I love that word. It's a love word. He's wooing his bride into the place of intimacy. Every time I hear a dove, I'm thinking, yes, Lord, woo me into your place of intimacy. The voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig trees put forth their green figs, verse 13, and the vines with the tender grapes give forth a good smell. Rise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Let's stop right there. I want to tell you, this is such a wonderful passage. You know, he takes the bride, he wakes her up in the morning, he says, arise, my love, my dove, my fair one, and come away with me. Let's spend our whole day together. Let's just spend our whole day together. Right from when the shadows flee away until the shadows come at night, let's spend our day together. Let's just enjoy each other's company. And he says, I want to just be with you. About 12 years ago, on the 2nd of January one year, I was having my quiet time, and I asked the Lord to give me a word for that year. And he gave me the word, and it was just my next reading in my daily quiet time, and I was reading in John chapter 10. And I want you to turn there if you have your Bibles, John chapter 10. And we'll read the first 5 verses. It's about Jesus is talking about himself as being the good shepherd. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. I read that, and I knew the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart. And he said this to me. He said, the sheep only follow the shepherd's voice. You know, the tragedy of so many of us is that we don't know the shepherd's voice. We've never trained our ears to hear his voice. There are so many other voices out there clamoring for our attention. I mean, we never are just quiet. We've always got to have the TV on, always got to have the radio, we've always got to have stuff blaring into our, and we're not quiet. And the Lord wants to train our ears to hear His voice. And He showed me this picture. I, in fact, did a little study on sheep in Israel. And I learned sheep in Israel are real smart. Although sheep basically are dumb, you know, in Israel, they're smart. Because in South Africa, when we have a lot of sheep there, you know, the shepherd would go around and he'd have to get all those sheep together and the dogs would go around and yap at them and, you know, and herd them from the back. But in Israel, the shepherd walks in front of the sheep. And this is the picture. The sheep at night are taken into a big kraal. There might be 5, 6, or 10 flocks of sheep in a big kraal. And a doorkeeper... What do you know what a kraal is? Sheepfold. Okay, sorry, that was a flashback to South Africa. It's a sheepfold. You know, they go into this big sheepfold, about who knows how many flocks of sheep will go into this big sheepfold. And the shepherd goes home for the night, but a doorkeeper is placed over the door, over the gate of the sheepfold. And so in the morning, long before daylight, the shepherd will then come to the door, to the doorkeeper, and he will call his sheep out by name. He calls them out. Now, I don't know what he named them. I mean, like Fluffy, Whitey, I mean, Spotlight. You know, who knows? Mary, probably there's a Mary there. Mary had a little lamb, you know. But he calls, every sheep had a name. And when he had gathered all of his sheep out, you know what the Lord told me? Every one of his children, I know them by name. He's given every one of his sheep a name, a new name. Do you know that? A new name. Read it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. He's given us a new name. And when he showed this to me years ago, I'll never forget it. I woke up at 2:11 one morning, and the Spirit of God said, I want to tell you what your new name is. You know, my name is Beverly Joan Sheesby. But he said, I've given you a new name. And as I studied it through the Word of God, I realized God changed names all the time. You know that? Abram became Abraham, father of many nations. Sarah became Sarah. You know, I mean, he changed names. Peter, Simon became Peter, Rock. I mean, God changed names. And really, when he changed the name, it was what he was going to make them into. It was almost like a prophetic word. Like Abraham became Abraham, and Abraham meant father of many nations. But Lord, I don't even have a son. But I'm making you a father of many nations. Hang in there, Abraham. And just call yourself Abraham. So the Lord started to show me He's given every one of His sheep a brand new name. You need to ask Him what your new name is. So early one morning, it was 2:11 in the morning, I woke up and the Spirit of God just spoke to me and He said, I want to tell you what your new name is. I was all ears. I mean, it was the middle of the night, but I was all ears. I was just like this. And the Lord said, your new name is Solid Rock. You know, and when I first heard it, I thought, well, that's not a very romantic name, you know. But you know what I realized? That's what He's making me into. I've always thought that I'm kind of like a Peter, you know. I just open my mouth and change feet, you know. I'm a black and white person. I mean, it's either black or it's white. I'm a bottom line person. Let's get rid of all the junk. Let's get to the bottom line, you know. That's just how I am. But the Lord said, I'm making you into a solid rock. You're not going to be up one minute and down the next minute. I'm going to establish you on the Word of God. The Word is going to be so strong in you, and you're going to be so solid in the Word. He's got a new name for you. And you can ask Him what your new name is. And you know what? Only He can tell you your name. I can't. Nobody else can. Only He. And it's going to come out of the intimacy of your spending time with Him. And He just drops that into your spirit. And it's going to be His special little treasure for you. I tell you that. I know some of you guys are thinking, this woman is off the wall, you know, she's just such a romantic person. But I'm telling you, I've just seen hundreds of people hear the Spirit sometimes for the very first time as He's dropped their new name into their spirit, and it's totally changed their lives. He calls his sheep out by name. And when he's got all of his flock behind him, he goes before them. And who have you been to Israel? I haven't, but I know that it's a very rocky place. And he leads them down steep hills and down into valleys and up. And eventually he gets them. And sheep do not have good eyesight, but sheep have got good ears. And so as he's leading them, he's talking to them all the time. He's just talking. He's singing all those wonderful psalms that we heard David the shepherd sing. He's singing to them. He's talking to them. And the sheep know that as long as they are in earshot of the shepherd, they're safe. If they get to the corners or the back of the pack and they can't hear the shepherd, they will go astray. Oh, do you see a big picture here? Big picture. When I read that and I learned that about sheep, I said, oh God, make me one of those sheep that are right at your heels. I want to hear your voice firsthand. I don't want to have to follow you because I'm following other sheep and this is the way of the other sheep. I want to hear it from your mouth. You know what? That's your birthright, child of God. You can hear his voice. He's speaking to you all the time. And he takes his sheep, and it's rough, and it's steep, and it's down in the valleys, and it's up the hills, and eventually it comes to the cool pasture land, but beside the still waters, and that's where he feeds his sheep. I want to tell you, that's his purpose for every one of us. And as I read that, I said, Lord, that's so wonderful. Oh, yes, I want to spend my whole day with you. I want to be one of those sheep that are right at your heels. And so I began this little experiment. This is about 12 and a half years ago now, or just over 12 years ago. And this is where I started. This was before Peter Lord's book on hearing God or Charles Stanley's book on all this hearing. I'd never read any of these books, but the Spirit of God was making it real in my spirit. And I said, Lord, I'm just going to start with real basic things on hearing you. And I didn't even tell this to John because, you know, I thought I was a bit out there, you know, just like, whoa. But I would walk into my closet and I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to wear today? And I would just hang around. I would just wait. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice from heaven booming down, wear a yellow dress, you know. But it was an impression in my spirit. It's like I quietened my spirit just to hear him. See, I really believed he was interested in every part of my life. He is interested in every part of my life. And for a woman, I mean, it's really important what we wear. So it's like I said, Lord, I want to include you in this area of my life. And so, I mean, in the beginning, I would take a long time to get dressed. I'd go off and do the kitchen and I'd come back and say, Lord, and I'd wait for that little impression in my heart. And it started to grow because, see, the Lord had to train me in the little things. Because, you see, there are big things out there that I've had to know, that I know, that I know that it's his voice. He started training me in hearing his voice just by what I wear. What do I eat? What do I put in my kids' lunch sacks today? And you know what? I have never graduated from that. This morning I said, Lord, what should I put on today? I like the way he clothed me, don't you? I mean, every day I'm asking him, Lord, what do you want? I look at a menu. Lord, what should we eat today? You know, Paul says that he prayed without ceasing. And I always thought, man, that must have been one heck of a spiritual giant. I mean, you know, but this is what I realized. That, you know what? This is part of praying. It's just communing. It's just communing. I walk down the grocery store. Which lettuce head should I take? Which sack of potatoes? I'm praying in tongues and we're just having a wonderful time and I'm speaking to him. And you know, I'm not the super spiritual person up there that I'm praying like this. You know, I'm a regular person. You know, I put my pantyhose on just like you ladies do. I really do. But this is where I live. And I, you know, I've got, this is how it works out in my life. And he talks to me, and I talk to him. One day, Tracy, my daughter, who is 22 now, but so this was about, 12 years ago, just soon after the Lord was teaching me all this stuff, we were walking down Drug Emporium. You know, do you have a Drug Emporium here? Okay. So we're walking down these long aisles, you know. And all of a sudden, that music came on. You fill up my senses like a Walk in the forest. You know that song? Ah, new. It's just like it exploded inside me. Oh, Lord. My hands went straight up in the air. And it's like I was walking down the aisle of a marriage, of a church. I walked down that aisle. You flip my senses like a walk in the forest. You take those words. I mean, they're wonderful. Tracy was saying, Mother, put your arms down. But you know what? I knew who I was. I didn't care who saw me. Anybody who saw me that could have asked me, I would have just put my arms all around them and said, oh, I just want to tell you. It's so exciting. I'm so excited about him. He loves me. I love him. You know, I'm his bride. I never have to forget when I'm in the drug emporium, where I'm in Tom Thumb or Albertson or the mall or Walmart or wherever. I'm still his bride. He speaks to me. I speak to him. The Lord told me so clearly. He said this. He said, you know, it's as I was learning to hear his voice and learning to walk in all of this, just hearing his voice, hearing him in every little detail of my life, he said, you need to teach your children how to do this too. You know, verse 16 of John chapter 10, you can look at it. Jesus said, there are other sheep that need to come into my fold that they might hear my voice also. In other words, brand new baby Christians can hear his voice.
That's right.
I want to tell you, it's a fallacy that says only Billy Graham or Benny Hinn or your pastor or somebody out there. I mean, they really got a hotline to heaven. They got the red phone, telephone, you know. I mean, oh, they hear him clearly. You know what? If you're his sheep, you can hear his voice. Brand new, one-day-old Christians can hear his voice. Can hear his voice. So I had to get to the place as a mom, and I had to believe that God could speak to my children and that they could hear his voice just as clearly, you know what, and sometimes clearer than me. Because they're not messed up with religion and tradition and all that other junk. And so he said, first of all, you've got to believe that your children can hear his voice. Little brand new Christians. At that point, Bradley was 7, Tracy was 9. So, you know, it's like, whoa. The second thing he said to me was this. He said, teach them through your life. Teach them how to hear. Believe they can hear, then teach them through your life. So I began to live as an open book before my kids. I mean, I would drive and say, now, Lord, where's our parking place today? Which is the one for your bride? You know, and I can remember the days that I would drive to school and I'd say to the kids, I'd say, oh, look at that sign. The Lord's speaking to us. I'll never forget it. It was a sign. They had just tarred the road. And they had all these big signs out, fresh oil. You know, fresh oil, be careful, you know. And I was taking Brad to school. And yeah, and I said, Brad, look, the Lord's pouring out fresh oil. You see, he can speak through anything and everything. I was driving home yesterday afternoon and I saw that big cigarette. I don't know what kind of cigarette advert it was. But it said underneath it, the real deal, good taste. And I read that and I said, oh, Lord, yes, you taste so good. I've tasted you and you're so good. And you are the real deal. You see, he can speak through anything if you've got eyes to see and ears to hear. He can speak through the cooing of a dove. Do you know the Lord showed me there's so many things he wants to speak to his bride about. Numbers. There are so many, you know, have you ever done a number study? 8 is the number for new beginnings. 3 is the number for the Trinity. 5 is the number for grace. Ask him. Ask him what the numbers mean in the Word. They will bless you. They will so bless you. That's not a whole sermon. I wish I had time to tell you about it. But I said, oh, Brad, look, the Lord's talking to us. Fresh oil. He's pouring, Lord Jesus, pour out fresh oil all over Brad today as he goes to school. And Brad's sitting there just smiling. Oh, this crazy mother of mine. But he loved it. And he hears the Spirit of God. And I said, and then as after I looked at the fresh oil sign, I looked up into the sky and the clouds, there was these little feather clouds. You know those, whatever they call, I don't know the names of clouds. Cirrus clouds, feather clouds. And I said, oh, Brad, look. He's put his wing of love over us today. And you know, Brad went to school that day. He had an incredibly fantastic day. He was covered in fresh oil, and the love of the Father's wing was right over him. He said, teach your kids. And then the third thing he said was this, release them. Now, this is the hard part. I mean, he's 7 years old, God. How do you release him? Well, I want to give you just two illustrations on this. He said, we were walking into Kmart one day. And, you know, Brad was with me, and he was 7 years old. We walked into Kmart, and he made a beeline for the toy section. And he got his favorite G.I. Joe toy. You know, this is the one. Oh, and my heart sank. I thought, oh, I'm either going to have to buy this thing for him, $6.99, waste of money. He'll play with it for 2 days, and then it'll be over. Or I'm going to have a crying kid on the way out. You know, your moms know what I'm talking about. So he follows me around Kmart, and I was amongst the dresses and that section over there, and he's walking like this with, you know, just following me. And I said, oh, Lord, give me wisdom. And who of you know, if any man lacks wisdom, I'm telling you, moms and dads need wisdom in training up their kids. And I said, Lord, give me wisdom. And just like that, the Spirit of God said to me, teach Brad how to hear your voice, how to hear my voice. Let him hear it right here. So I said, Brad, I tell you what, why don't you ask the Lord if you're supposed to have this G.I. Joe? He said, Mom, you just don't want to buy it for me. And I said, no, I really want to buy it for you. If God tells me that this is for you, I will buy it for you. And I'll be so happy to buy it for you. But if he says it's not for you, will you be all right putting it back on the shelf? And he said, okay. So he went and walked around the petticoats, and I prayed fervently. I said, God, if you've never spoken to a seven-year-old, please speak to him now. And after about, 45 seconds, he comes back and he says, I didn't hear a thing. You know, so I'm saying one of those incredibly fervent prayers I sent up to heaven. Help, you know. And just like that, the Spirit of God said to me, he gave me wisdom. I said, Brad, give me your desire in this hand. So it was so cute. He put his hand in his pocket and he brought it out, play, and he put his desire in my hand. How many of you know if we can just do that, we'll hear the voice of the Spirit? And I said, right, give me the G.I. Joe in the other hand. And I said, I'll hold your desire and I'll hold the toy. Now you go and ask the Lord again. I'm telling you, he came back in just no time. He's smiling from ear to ear. He says, Mom, the Lord said, I don't have to have it. I went, whoopee. We put the thing back. I have no idea what I went into Kmart for. I didn't buy a thing. We walked straight out the door. And I will never forget that seven-year-old boy. He was skipping. He was laughing. He was smiling. He said, I can't believe God spoke to me. He spoke to me. I know he spoke to me. It began such an incredible journey for him. I remember the time Tracy, she was just going through her teenage years, you know, with peer pressure. She was at school and she wanted Jordache jeans. And so, they're $44, you know. There's no way. I've never paid $44 for a pair of jeans for myself, much less for a kid who will wear it for 3 months, you know. But I was teaching her to hear his voice. And so as we went into Mervyn's to go buy this Jordache jeans, she tried them on and, you know, just wanted them. I said, Tracy, you ask the Lord if you're supposed to have these. Well, we went through the same deal. You just don't want to buy them for me. But I knew that she wasn't to have them. But the Lord said to me, now, I don't just let my kids go. We counsel, we pray together, we talk together. We've got wonderful communication going. But the Lord said to me, this is the point that she is going to hear my voice. I bought those crazy jeans for her, $44, plus tax came to about $47. And so about 3 days later, she came to me and she said, you know, Mom, I never should have had those jeans. I just wanted them so badly that I didn't really want to hear his voice. You know something? The Lord spoke to me and he said, you taught her the biggest lesson of her life. You go eat out once and you've spent $45 and put on 10 pounds. But he said you spent $47 on her and you taught her one of the biggest lessons of her life. You taught her to hear my voice. A number of years later, when she was driving a car one Saturday afternoon, she had just taken John to the airport. I was coming in from a meeting and John was going out. She took John to the airport, and on the way back from the airport, on this busy airport freeway between Dallas and Fort Worth, her car broke down. And she prayed over it. She prayed in tongues. She rebuked the devil. She did all she knew to do. But here she was, a little blonde, 16-year-old, parked on the side of the road with a broken car. Didn't know what to do. She prayed. And just after she'd prayed, a man in a red pickup pulled up in front of her. Now, she's telling me this when I got into town. I'm saying, oh, no, Tracy, do not tell me. You did not get into that pickup with him. She said, I did, Mom, because I asked the Lord if I could. And he said, I could. You see, she'd learned to hear the voice of the shepherd. She said, I got into that pickup. He drove me home. When he got me home, he said, young lady, I want to tell you something. You must never get into a pickup with a strange man. That's what he told her. But you see, she'd learned to hear his voice. My kids are at ORU now. They can go to any movie they like. They can do whatever they like. They can party as much as they like. But you know what? Because they learned to hear the shepherd's voice under the canopy of our home, with our direction, with our love, with our support, with our releasing them to make mistakes, releasing them to fall and make mistakes, but being there to lift them up, build them up, and hear God together again, press on. I'm telling you, they haven't gone through those rebellious teenage years. They haven't gone through it because they're learning to hear his voice. They've already got up and walked out of movies because they just felt so disturbed and the Spirit of God said, get out. And they've walked out of a movie. You can't, you know what? You can't teach a kid to do that. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But my sheep hear my voice. I want to tell you the incredible birthright you have. You can hear his voice. I've got 7 minutes and I want to quickly hit this so that we can move on. Back in Song of Solomon, verse 14, he says this, O my dove, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret place of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Here they are, they're moving through their whole day, they're checking the pomegranates and the fig trees and the vineyards and they're doing all the stuff, and slap bang dab in the middle of their day, the bridegroom says to the bride, come hide in the cleft of the rock. Let me just see your face. Let me see your form. Let me hear your voice. And the Spirit of God said to me, he is so spontaneous with his love. Do you remember when you were dating, how you used to pop peppermints in each other's mouths, and you would just, when you first married, and just have a little hug behind the kitchen door? Don't look at me like that. Come on. Is it so long ago that you did it that you've forgotten? No, I'm telling you, the Spirit of God wants to have that kind of intimacy that is spontaneous within us, just totally spontaneous within us. And, you know, in South Africa, we speak two languages. Many more languages now, but when growing up in school, we used to learn English and Afrikaans. And Afrikaans is a language that is a German and Dutch derivative. It's kind of all a mixture of a whole lot. And if I was going to speak Afrikaans to you today, I'd say, ek is so bly om hier te wees vandag. En julle mense is so pragtig. And all I said was, I'm so happy to be with you today, and you people are so pretty. I'm not very good at Afrikaans. But Afrikaans is a very guttural language. But they've got one word that almost cannot be translated into English. And it's the word kafuffel. And the word kafuffel is what you do in your neck. You know, when you just... neck. You know what a neck, what you do in your neck? Some of you guys husbands need to go neck with your wives a little bit, you know? Right little, just when you just kerfuffle, you know, it's just like you go park in a car and you look at the moon and you kerfuffle. I mean, that's such a wonderful word. It's the word for intimacy. It's the word for just nibbling on each other's ears. Boy, am I shocking some people here. I know I am. I can see it written all over your face. But I want to tell you, The Holy Spirit in this passage right here in verse 14, in the middle of their day, says, come, let me just go kerfuffle with you. You know what? It's been the most fun thing to do. He wants to pour His love out upon you. He doesn't want just to love you in your quiet time, half an hour in the morning. He wants to love you all day long. There have been times when He's just said, I've said, Lord, what should we do now? And He says, why don't we go and lie on the couch? And I say, oh, I like that. Let's go do that. And I just lay on the couch. And you know, it's times when you don't say one single word, but His love just bathes over you like the waves of the sea. There are times when I'm riding in the car and the song comes over. I love to listen to easy listening music, you know. And that song that says, what is that? Something about everlasting love. When I fall in love, it'll be forever. You know that song? Oh, my word, that's a kerfuffling song. I just open up my spirit and I let the Spirit of God pour His love into me and I just love Him. And I'm in the driving the car, you know, I'm just going down the road. You don't have to be on your knees and praying with your Bible open. It's an attitude of your heart. It's an attitude of your heart. I mean, this morning I was singing that song. To know you is to love you. Just to feel your touch, know your warm embrace. You know the song? I'm telling you, that's a kerfuffling song too. To know Him. To let Him know you. To hear your voice. Do you see how incredibly practical it is to walk as a bride? Hearing His... It's not so super spiritual up there that I've got a halo, I've got to keep shined up. But it's just hearing Him, letting Him love me, letting Him just pour His love into me, and letting me pour my love out to Him. Because you know what? As He loves me, and as His love is shed abroad in my heart, I'm able to love others. I not only can love myself, but I can start to love others. I'm going to quit right here and pick up tomorrow, because I know some of you got to get back to work. But before you go, I felt like the Spirit of God said to me, some of you have sat in your chairs this morning and said, you know, there was a time when I used to hear God like that, when I was first saved. And it's like all this stuff has just come against me. You know what? For the longest time, I've been a saved now for 33 years. For the longest time, a deaf and a dumb spirit ministered to me. It's like it blocked my spiritual ears. And some of you this morning can get free of that deaf and dumb spirit, because the Spirit of God wants to speak to your heart. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to be speaking on going into the King's chamber. I'm going to be speaking on the little foxes that want to steal our vineyard. And I'm going to be speaking on what it means to go into that place of intimacy. So you don't want to miss that. But let's pray together right now. Father, I thank You. Oh, You're so wonderful to be with. I'm so very blessed to be Your bride. I'm so very blessed to have clean ears that I can hear Your voice. And oh Lord, keep me ever at Your feet, at Your ankles. I mean, listening. Oh, I want to go only where You go. Lord, I want to do only what You do. And Lord, if it doesn't, if my list of 20 things that I have to do today and I only get 10 done, Lord, I can come to the end of the day and say, Lord, I did everything You wanted me to do. And I can be at peace. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank You for Your bride. And this morning, You want to set Your bride free from a deaf and dumb spirit. Now, we've all got our heads closed, but if that applies to you, put your hands in the air and just receive it from the Lord. And I'm going to take authority over it, and you agree with me right now. In the name, power, and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against every deaf and dumb spirit that would block the ears of the children of God from hearing His voice. I rebuke you. I rebuke you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And I speak clarity of hearing. Lord, You said You will cause Your glorious voice to be heard, and You can speak extremely loud. And Lord, I pray that You will speak to us. Speak to us. Tell us our new names. Speak to us through this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I speak the blessing of the Lord upon this precious bride of Christ this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.